a valuable piece of information that somebody told me like on day one was that, you know, one of the challenges is learning like how much time to spend in your business and mm-hmm. how much time to spend on your business.
Wondering what it takes to succeed in business? Welcome to the Hustle Podcast, where we share genuine stories of success and failure to guide you on your journey to achieving your goals. All right. So I am super excited for today's episode because we have Chris Reznor in the house.
Hello.
Hello. We have known the Reznor family for a long time. Gosh, yeah. If Dylan was here, he probably would say what? 12 years?
I'm usually a good guesser, 15? But we've been married for 10. Longer than I think.
We've been married for 10. And then before that, he was working at Dutch Bros. So yeah. Well, and even my brother too.
Yeah. Dylan had to have started 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So we'll say 15. Yeah, we sound like OGs. Yeah. We sound like we're BFFs for a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've known the Reznors for quite some time in the Dutch Bros world. Obviously, if you're here in Reading and are part of our community, Dutch Bros has been well established by you guys from the very beginning. Dutch Bros has been around for
this past April. So April 2024 has been 20 years.
20 years. That 20 is crazy. 20
years our shop on Churn Creek.
And the first one was the Four Corners.
Churn Creek.
Churn Creek over one by
post office.
Post office. That was the one that Dylan managed for a couple of years.
Original.
The OG. But one thing that we've always been so inspired by your guys' journey is your entrepreneur hustle, which is obviously all about this podcast, is just listening to people's success and failures and everything that you've done. And I think anytime Dylan and I talk about like people that are in the game doing it, it's always cool to hear your guys' name come up in our conversation of like, look what they've established, and they're always branching out and doing different things. Like, we'll get into all of it from Dutch Bros to your new adventures. But I think for the person listening always, I always like to bring it back to the roots of like, what started this journey for you? Did you have any background? Because when people listen to our story of real estate, like I had no business background. It was kind of just like, whoops, we're here. Yeah. Like, let's try real estate. So I'd be curious to learn, you know, in some kind of, you know, synopsis of where you started, how it got you, especially into Dutch Bros. Because if I'm not mistaken, Dutch Bros is really what launched you probably into your different avenues that you've taken now in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. So 20 years ago, we opened our first store. Mm-hmm. I moved to Reading in 2003. So about 21 and a half years ago. And I moved here to open Dutch Bros. I started with Dutch Bros in 1999.
Jeez.
98, 99. And I started at their 8th location.
Jeez.
And so there's like,
I was 5 years old.
Yeah. Right. I was 8. there's like 800 locations now at the time of this recording.
Yeah.
So
you were working at store 8.
I started at their 8th location in Medford.
Yep,
it was actually Medford. In Phoenix. And funny, and I don't know everybody wants to know this, but it's the only location in all of Dutch Bros that has ever been moved because it was not in a great spot.
Gotcha.
So I started there. I started working as a night guy there. Mm-hmm. I worked construction for my dad during the daytime.
Yep.
And my dad was like this classic, like just you work hard, you don't talk, you like carry plywood and, you know,
grind.
Build houses in the heat. You don't take a lunch. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to eat, I had to have my snacks in my nail bags and you just work. And you can't, nobody can talk and work at the same time, as he said, is what he said. So if you're going to talk, then we can't work.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you got to work. So I was doing that during the day and I was just needed this outlet. And I loved Dutch Bros. I went through as a customer and was always just like, probably like starry eyed looking at these guys like, man, your job looks so fun.
I gotta go work construction and die. My lunch out of my nail bag.
And so for me, I was just like always wanting to work there. And I was always asking like, is this fun? You know, it looks fun. So finally, when they were going to open another location, their manager reached out to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. She got the number for my dad's office off the side of the work van that I was driving.
Nice.
And I got home from work that day and my mom was like, hey, there was a message from a manager at Dutch Bros seeing if you wanted a job.
Yeah.
So I called and they like, we know you work construction, but maybe you would want to work nights.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And so I got hired working nights, extremely slow location, but it was a blast. Like cranky music, talking with customers and just goofing around and kind of an outlet to meet people.
Totally.
That I didn't have during the daytime.
You're like socialization.
I know. And it's so funny. My dad was like just such a realist. It was like, you know, he paid me at the time, minimum wage was like $4 an hour, you know, and he was paying me $10 an hour under the table. And so it was like, every time I would say, Dad, I want to go get a job in the mall. You know, he's like, why?
Why?
Why do you want to do that? And I'm like, well, because I want to like meet people. And he's like, yeah, but you're going to work for like more than half of what? Yeah. I'm like, okay, I know. That's smart.
We'll go back to the nail bag sandwich.
Yeah, so, you know, so anyway, that's how I got hired at Dutch Bros. Okay. Worked nights. And I remember still Trav, who is one of the two brothers, mm-hmm. one of the two founding brothers, coming in. And at the time, I mean, I had to be probably... I was probably 23 or 24 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember him coming in. He's not that much older than me.
Yeah.
So he was probably 30. Mm-hmm. And I remember him popping up on the counter and was just talking to me, and I had never met him. And he was like, what mm-hmm. do you want to do? You know? And I'm like, I don't know, but this is a blast. And
yeah.
So I remember him saying, well, someday we might franchise and, you know, maybe you would want to do that. And so that kind of stuck. It was like a seed that sort of got planted.
You said it. I will hold you to it.
Yeah. I'm like, you remember when I recorded it?
Yeah.
No. And so I ended up working at Dutch Bros. You know, the condensed version, mm-hmm. I moved around a lot. I went to school in Texas for a year. Went to Allen Christian. Right? Well, I did.
I'm going to skip you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You don't hear about Texas. No, I lived in Texas for a year, and then I lived back in Southern Oregon for some time. And then I got accepted to Art Center in Pasadena. So I went to Art Center for a year.
Yeah. Dylan, I remember when Dylan was at Dutch Bros, he's like, Chris is like a crazy artist. And I was like, no way.
It's one of those things that people,
it's like a party trick. It is. Like, what can you do? Oh, I can paint. You're like, nah.
You know, it's like I find random pictures and I'll like post something on Instagram and people are like, what?
Yeah.
You can paint or draw? And I'm like, yeah. Surprise. Yeah.
You should do a mural downtown.
I know. Well, I actually think that would be really fun too.
That would be really cool. All right. Side note. So you went to art school.
I went to art school in Pasadena for a year. I studied studied illustration for entertainment.
Okay.
At the same time, I was wanting to go back to, I had already worked at Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of funny. It was this weird time when I was living in LA mm-hmm. and I was driving around everywhere with this digital camera, taking pictures of locations that would be good Dutch Bros locations.
Mm, that hustler.
Yeah. And I kept sending them. I was sending them Brian Maxwell at Dutch Bros, and he's like the CFO guy. And mm-hmm. at the time he's like the head hog.
Yeah.
And I'm sending him these things just like, and it, you know, I'd go back to my computer. I'd have to plug my digital camera in, upload
the SIM card.
This is like in, you know, 90s.
Yeah.
And send him an email and it takes forever. And then I'm like, hey, this is a great location. And you're like, what are you doing? We're not mm-hmm. opening
We're not
anything
going that
in California for like a long time. And I'm like, please let me open something.
Yeah.
So after a year of going to art school, I decided that I was going to do my own coffee shop in LA because Dutch Bros wasn't into it. Mm-hmm. So I moved home, was going to work for a year, save some money, move back to LA. So I did. I had this dream of opening my own drive-thru coffee shop, and I was just going to copy Dutch Bros because I didn't know anything different. And so I was doing everything that you can do with no money.
Nice.
So I was like meeting real estate agents. I'm like, you know, looking up on the internet, which you couldn't do on your phone at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, go home, my AOL, you know, looking up internet,
little guy
like,
running across the
you know,
screen.
Real estate terms. Cause I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like calling on commercial property in LA. And that's way too much money for like
30,000 square feet.
Yeah. And so then I would go and meet these real estate agents, but I'm driving this like old crappy car and I don't know what I'm doing at all. And so I park like a half a block away so they don't see me.
Yeah.
And then I just walk up and I'm like learning the lingo to like be able to talk to all these real estate agents. Mm-hmm. And I did all the, like I had deals lined up on property and I didn't have any money.
Wow.
Like I wasted these poor guys' time so much.
And, you're the buyer that we,
you guys love me.
Yeah, we love you. And then it comes to, where's your pre-approval? Oh, I don't have one.
Yeah. What?
What?
You're breaking up. No, so I went to Vegas. I went to these big coffee conventions and I had contacts. I had roasters lined up and all my cup suppliers and all mm-hmm. the things you can do with no money. And I was doing that at the same time. I wrote a business plan, sent like 100 business plans out across the country and got one response from some company saying like, we're not interested.
And they, rejected.
They actually said it was a fad. They're like, we're not interested in drive-through coffee. It's a fad.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to still try to line up everything I can do and hope I can find some money.
Yeah.
And at the time I had some people that were like, well, you know, we'll loan you money, but we want to be partner. We want this and that. And I had a few people that in my life that had been successful that I kind of got counsel from, and they just said, don't take a partner if you can avoid it. And you know. So I did that for probably 2 years. I was trying to find money for somebody to loan me, because I had everything else.
Like, this was before GoFundMe. No, yeah, just right.
I could have just said, hey, help.
Hey, help.
I only had, I'm going on a mission trip. No. So I was 2 years I was trying to find money.
Yeah.
And I was really getting discouraged by that point. Like, I didn't like really living in LA. And I was just like, what am I doing? I'm going to open a coffee shop in LA. I don't really like being here anymore.
Yeah.
And just discouraged. In the back of my head, I was kind of like, well, I'm going to end up, it's not terrible, but I'm going to end up back in Southern Oregon, probably take over my dad's construction company is like my future. Because the art path was intriguing, but I also didn't love the idea of having to stay in LA.
Yeah.
And if I could have made a good career in that world, in entertainment and illustration for entertainment, especially coming out of Art Center. But I just didn't want to live in LA.
Yeah.
And so 2 years had went by and Dutch Bros called me and they're like, hey, what are you doing? They're like, did you open a coffee shop?
Like, do you want my business plan?
Yeah. I'm like, well, here's the deal. I said, I'm still trying to open I just can't get any traction. And they're like, well, we're ready to move into California and we want you to be our first guy.
Nice.
And so I was like, no way, you know, this is like a dream. So they said, when can you meet? And I said, I'll be there tomorrow. And they said, wait,
I'm actually in Oregon right now.
It's like they hear a knock right then. So I'm like, they're like, where are you at? I'm like, I'm in LA but I'll leave right now and I'll stop on the way and meet with you guys. And they're in Grants Pass, you know, it's whatever, 12-hour drive or something.
Yeah.
So I had never stopped in Redding because I had lived in Medford, and driving from Medford to LA, it's only, you know, 2 hours into your drive. I never needed to stop. So I just drove right through Redding every time. So I had one buddy though that had ended up here. His name is John Klein. And I called him and just, hey, are you still in Redding? He's like, yeah, I'm still here. And I said, I'll be there like late tonight. Can you show me around Redding? Cause I was kind of thinking, I was looking at a map and I was like, cause they said you can't be in LA on the phone. They're like, you gotta be closer to Oregon. And so I stopped in Redding and we met at In-N-Out and
classic.
Of course, yep. And he drove me around town and I was just like, man, Redding is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, this place is cool. Like, I had come from LA, so big, so like not, there's no personal connections with anybody down there. And I just was like, this place feels like home. And it felt like Southern Oregon, like Redding and Medford are similar size.
Totally.
And so I left and I went and sat down with Dane and Trav and their small team. There's a couple guys, Dave and Brian, and they said, we're thinking Redding or Tahoe for you. And I said, Redding, I'll take Redding. And I've been asked like, why didn't you pick Tahoe? You know, but I had never been to Tahoe either.
Yeah.
And my impression of Tahoe though, was that it was like, you'll be busy, but you're not going to really build lasting relationships maybe
just
because it's like, you know, vacation town. And so with Redding, I was like, I really love that Dutch Bros can really plant roots and be a part of a community and that I can build a relationship here.
Totally.
And so they said, we're thinking Redding or Tahoe. And I said, Redding, I'll take it. And we shook hands and they're like, well, do you have any money? And I'm like, well, here's the thing.
Can I shake a hand
funny
and
story.
Some funny
I shook
comes?
Really quick.
Yeah. You shook.
Got it.
You gotcha. Can't take back.
So yeah. So I mean, I had all kinds of ideas. I'm like, well, my dad's trying to sell this house and I got this other person that might loan me money. And
yeah.
And so I went back to LA, packed up my stuff, moved home back to Medford and started working for Dutch Bros again. And my thought in my head was like, I'll work for Dutch Bros for a year and save some money. I'll go back and forth to Redding and hopefully I can make some connections. Hopefully I'll find some money. Maybe I can save up some money working for my dad and Dutch Bros and be able to get a loan.
Totally.
So I was back in Medford for a month and my buddy John here in Redding calls me and he's like, hey, what are you doing? Are you going to move here? And I'm like, well, yeah. Honestly, in my head at the time, I was kind of still discouraged.
Yeah.
Like I was talking this game, like, oh, I'm going to move to Redding.
I'm going to open my Dutch Bros.
But I also, in my head was like, I've been doing this for years. It had been.
Yeah.
And
I have more business plans than I care to admit.
Like, and I've gotten told no so many times. Like at this point, it's starting to feel like maybe I will never get the money.
Yeah.
And I will end up in Medford.
doing construction. Yeah.
And so my buddy's like, are you going to move here? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I am at some point. He goes, well, here's the thing. This was on a Friday. He goes, I have a job for you. And my roommate just moved out. I'm like, okay, you know, cool. And he goes, but the catch is that you start Monday in this job. Mm-hmm. So you like have to commit. You got to tell me right now. I'm like, well, give me like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I got off the phone and I talked with my parents and we prayed about it. And they were just like, they were great. They were like, you got to go, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know. And so I drove here down here on Sunday. The room was at Park West 5 over behind Walmart.
Nice.
And, dude, these apartments, I mean, you already know, but this apartment that these guys had, it was all these guys, like at the time there was this group of dudes like Nate Edwardson and all these guys that were like this group. And there had been guys rotating. The original guy on that lease was probably gone 6 years before that.
Wow.
So it never got new carpet and it never got painted. It was already a,
it's like a dude's a nice, bros.
It was
batch.
So gross. So I moved in there. It was like $300 a month.
Yeah.
And then the job that I had was a courier for a local company that would handle the deposit, the daily deposits for one of the community banks. So I would show up at 5. They would hand me a bag, a locked bag of checks, and I would drive it to Chico and drop it to another guy. That's how they sent the checks in every day.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it allowed me the entire day though to do the same thing I had been doing in LA. I'm like, here we go
coffee
again.
And
get
business
my notepad,
plans.
Go to the Y, play a basketball workout, go get a coffee, drive around town all day and make notes of where I need to have Dutch Bros locations.
Yeah.
And at the same time I was trying to get money.
Mm-hmm.
So I found our first location. And it's funny now looking back that I got told so many times no by people here in town who I know still, and they probably don't remember.
Yeah.
And I got, people were like, what are you here for? I remember this girl that was friends of John's and that whole group. She was the manager at the Starbucks on Cypress, which was their busiest Starbucks in like Northern California at the time.
Yeah.
And she was like, I got to be friends with her and this, she was part of this whole group. And I remember her when we met, she was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm going to open a drive-through coffee shop. And she goes, are you like, where at? And I told her, cause I was like working on the location for the first spot. And she goes, you seem like such a nice guy. Like I don't you want to do like a sandwich shop or something? Because like you're opening right down the corner from Dutch Bro. I mean, from Starbucks.
Yeah.
Like you're going to, she basically was like, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
And because it's so close to us. And I'm like, yeah, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
It's different. Nobody knew what Dutch Bros was at the time. I mean, this was 2003.
That's
and
crazy.
Nobody knew.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, no, it's different.
I
it's going to be
in
cool.
It.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. Yeah. And so, but I found the location.
Mm-hmm.
I had all the deal lined up. I had like the purchase agreement, all the stuff. And I still didn't have any money. And it was like the 11th hour. And finally, somebody from Grants Pass who had went to school with Dan and Trav and knew everything about Dutch Bros was like, I'll loan you the money.
Like, thank God it's been 2 years. Where have you been?
I'm like, yeah, you could have come around a couple of years ago. So yeah. So at like the last minute I got the money. And,
that's crazy.
And it was, I mean, it was an expensive deal for me.
Well, starting out with nothing.
It wasn't ideal, but I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
You know, it was the only way for me to make it happen, and it worked, and we got our first, you know, first location. That was in I moved here in January of 2003 and we opened April of 2004. I met Erin, my wife, like 2 months after I moved here. No, I actually met Erin when I moved here. My friend John that I referred to, he knew everybody in town, and one of his good friends, Chris McCarley, was dating a girl named Amy Palmer, whose parents owned Palmer's Furniture here in town. And Erin and Amy were like best friends from high school. And Erin was away at UC Santa Barbara. And so when I moved here, I met those, that whole group aside from Erin, and Amy started trying to play matchmaker. So she's like, you know, calling Erin down in Santa Barbara.
You should meet this guy.
You should meet this guy.
He has no money. He's trying to start a coffee shop.
No. But that was a funny thing. I'm 10 years older than Erin.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Amy, it's a hard sales pitch. She's like, there's this guy moved to Reading.
He has no money. He's 10 years older than you.
He's not trying to leave Reading. He moved here to Reading. Everybody's trying to leave.
We're starting off.
He moved here. He's 10 years older than you. He, you know, drives an 86 Honda Accord.
And he has no money.
And he's got no money. And
you
he lives at Park
him.
West 5. It's awesome. So Yeah. So she hooked us up and I met Erin when she came home on break and we were like inseparable. And then,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And she was like a major part of the early days of us opening because I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. She was going to school for, you know, microbiology and I'm like art guy.
Jeez.
And so we opened this shop and I'm great at like smiling and goofing around, but I didn't know how to like do QuickBooks and
you're like, what's numbers?
Yeah. I'm like counting. I had boxes of dollar bills in my room cause I didn't want to deposit the ones. And it's like,
everything was underneath the mattress.
Doing? Yeah. She's like, what are you doing? You can't do this. So she was like very pivotal in like the organization, the operations. And she still is today. Yeah. Like she puts in a lot more of the time
behind
and
the
effort.
Scenes.
Yeah. And for sure, behind the scenes of the operations.
You're on how many stands now? Seven?
We have eight.
Eight.
Eight locations and about 300 employees.
Just, you know, a few.
Yeah.
So obviously Dutch Bros is like the huge kind of launch for you of like something you've been dreaming for a long time, 2003, all that. Obviously people that are in Reading know Dutch Bros and know that you're kind of like the backbone to starting it and carry all the locations. So as kind of your lessons of getting into it with no money and then trying to be a successful business and then getting to where you are now, what are like, I'm sure people ask you all the time, like, what are the things that you learned that you're like, if I could do it all over again, I might do this, or these are the things that I learned and I wouldn't trade it for the world to have not gone through those lessons.
Yeah. Those are good questions.
I'll play Jeopardy music.
Yeah. Thanks for pressure.
Yeah.
I think that being a risk taker is, I think it's, you know, it comes with obviously with the risk of failure, but without, you know, I don't know. I think that a lot of where we are today is because we took calculated risks and they were calculated, you know, from the outside. Some of them weren't, some of them were dumb. You know, when you look back, you're like, well, that was dumb, but it worked.
Yeah.
You know, and I think without great risk comes, you know, without whatever that saying is, you know,
yeah, without great
with,
risk,
with great risk comes
great reward.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I just couldn't remember right away.
Yeah.
but I think it's true. I mean, you can play it really safe and there is, a lot of wisdom in that, but there also is, you know,
like some point you're gonna have to just jump and see what happens.
You really do. And, you know, we opened our first shop in 04 and then we opened our second one in 05 and then we opened one in 06 and 07. We opened in the middle of 06 and beginning of 07, we opened three locations.
Jeez Louise.
And we got married and we bought a house, our first house. And we opened those three locations and we only had the financing lined up for one of them. For our one on down on South Market, but the Four Corners location and the airport location were both other coffee shops that went out of business that came to us and were like, hey, we want you to take over our lease. So I used the money that I had allocated for our loan. I used it for those two deals to get those open.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have the money for the loan, but I had like amazing people in town that we were working with that allowed me to like make payments and like worked with us.
Get creative with
it. Yeah, but it was like, that was a really hard time. And it's funny, you look back and it's like the 20-year overnight success.
Yeah.
You know, you meet people now that maybe have moved to town in the last 5 years and they're just like, oh, Dutch Bros, so you guys are like killing it. But they don't, nobody
like
saw.
The 20, yeah.
Nobody saw in 06 when we bought that house. We didn't actually, it had this like fireplace in it that had went out. And our heater went out in the house, the HVAC, after we bought it.
No money.
We couldn't fix it. And we were sleeping on the floor by this little fireplace because we didn't have the money to put because we had $0. Yeah. We were going around. It was so bad. We had like four locations.
Yeah.
And we would go around on Fridays because payday was Friday. We told everybody we would drop their checks at 5 p.m. So we would drive around to all the shops at like 4:15 and get that day's sales
to them
and
pay
then
everybody.
Go to the bank parking lot and we would count all the money in the car and run in and try to deposit before people go and cash their paychecks.
Wow.
And then we would have these massive debits for all of our beans and product, these big debits that would come out every week. And sometimes the swings in our bank account would be like, we have $1,000 and then negative $20,000 because a huge deposit just came out. And then we're running around to all our shops trying to get all the cash we can get together to go back and make our account positive. And so it was like, we were stretched so thin for a long time.
I mean,
that kind of like hustle lasted for probably 2 years.
Yeah.
Where we were just like,
before you scraping. Saw like the breakthrough.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but you know, looking back, people have said, well, do you think you should have not opened that many locations? But for me at the time, you know, I wanted to have market share. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to jump in with a splash and open as many locations as we could so that it really felt like we were the only
place. The only place when you think coffee, you think Dutch Bros.
Yeah. Which had its negative impact, which was kind of, I didn't see coming, was that, you know, we opened one location and two locations and I really made an effort to like brand Dutch Bros with our name so that we were like a local,
like business.
It is a franchise, but you have it's a locally owned and operated franchise. So the only difference really is that we just pay a royalty fee. Yeah. You know, it's like not any different, but people have this negative impression of like these big chain, you know? And so when we all of a sudden we had 5-6 locations, like, people are like, oh, they're a corporate owned thing. And I'm like, well, not really.
Yeah.
We live here in town.
Yeah.
We pay all local sales tax stuff.
We employ
all people. We give back here locally. Like we're a local business.
Yeah. It's funny. Like just like the people perceived things. One thing that I'm curious about. So you went from obviously y'all's like just you guys and your paycheck to scaling to 300 employees. What was for me, like thinking if I was like an entrepreneur listening to this, I'm like to scale and to like manage that many people seems so overwhelming. And I know management helps having people underneath you, having extensions of you. What was like kind of like the leadership role that like made you all of a sudden wear the hat that goes, okay, I'm the leader. People believe in me. People believe in my product. And now we also are now creating an extension through people passing out coffee cups and whatnot, that this is our culture, this is our brand and everything. Like, I feel like you guys have embodied that so well through the last 20 years that when people think Dutch Bros, they think fun. When they think coffee, they think Dutch Bros. Like, so it was like, how is that? Like, was that something that you guys just learned and that just carried through with your passion? Or, I mean, it's hard to like wrangle cats.
Yeah. 300. It is. I think there was a lot of growing pains in there as far as like the leadership side of things. You know, we opened 1, 2, 3, 4 locations. We were still trying to operate from a place of like no money. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to stretch everything as thin as we could. You know, we're like, all right, I'll be a manager at a store and Baron, you be a manager. And then like, we'll have other two managers, but kind of managers because we can't afford to pay people really more money. And so like, we got to do as much as we can. But you know, I think that a valuable piece of information that somebody told me like on day one was that, you know, one of the challenges is learning when, like how much time to spend in your business and how much time to spend on your business. Mm. And I had never really thought about that because in my mind it was all in. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, oh, I'm the guy, I'm in here. I need to be in here every day. Mm-hmm. We opened and we were way busier than I first expected. I don't have any money. I got to be the guy. We needed way more employees. So I was working all day and then training all night for like months.
Yeah.
And so I think that when it finally, and when I opened Dutch Bros because I wanted to be the guy in the shop, like that's the fun of Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to be a business guy. I wanted to be the guy working behind the bar, making jokes and listening to music and meeting people.
Yeah.
And so we went through some growing pains, me personally, it was just hard, like emotionally, where we got to that point where it's like, I can't be the guy that's in the shop anymore. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. Like we can't run a business and me be a manager of a Dutch Bros. Mm-hmm. Like I got to be the guy outside of that. And so I think probably longer ago than I think, but probably 10, 12 years ago, it really hit me that my role is to be an example to all these young people working for us of what it looks like to operate a business with character and to be a devoted husband and to be a great
work-life
dad. It's like, you know, I've never really liked the work-life balance motto. Because to me, it's just all life. Mm-hmm. You know, we love our work and Aaron and I are partners in it together. Mm-hmm. So it's all life to me. But that was like a big role shift in my head was like, all right, now my role, I can still have this impact in our community just through all these amazing people that are working for us now.
Extension.
Yeah. And so we have to be intentional about hiring the right people and training them and really teaching them why we're doing what we're doing. Like it's not to serve a good cup of coffee. It's like to make an impact in our community and in people's lives.
Yeah.
And so I think that for me, that was a tough shift, but you know, learning how to hire the right people and put them in the right seats on the bus. You know, it's not one thing. It's not to just fill the bus with people, but you got to have them in the right seats.
Yeah.
And so I think we've learned a lot over the years, reading books and going to conventions and
growing pains of it.
Yeah. Just all this stuff of like constantly wanting to learn and grow how to be a better leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like your journey of Dutch Bros is super inspiring. And what I'm excited about is, learning and chatting more about like your new adventures, maybe James, like where you guys have gone. I know you have like a sunscreen company too. Right?
Well, that's my friends.
Oh, that's your friends. Yeah, okay. Friends. All right. Well, we'll sponsor them too. But just kind of your different entrepreneurs that now, because you've reined in how to structure a really, really successful business, where does that lead your creativity space to do more? So, this is part one of our great episode with Chris Reznor. Thanks so much for sharing your story and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.